Remembering Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, a family tribute. Here's Ben Mulroney.
Are you lonesome?
Welcome back.
Tonight.
You know, if this were sports radio, I would be introducing my next guest by listing his myriad accomplishments on the ice and how he changed hockey forever. Instead, I'm going to introduce Wayne Gretzky as the friend I had dinner with just a few days ago with my mother. And Wayne, I have to tell you that after that dinner, my mom said that this was just a few days after my dad passed. She said that for the first time, from the moment she sat down to the time we got up, she felt no sadness. And that was entirely due to the fact that you were sitting next to her the entire meal. So I want to start by saying thank you for that dinner.
Well, listen, there's nothing more important than parents, right?
Yeah.
And your parents were great people, more importantly. And, you know, it was a wonderful night. We had a great time, both Jenna and I, with you guys. You know, it seems like yesterday that my dad passed. And you know, it's the hardest thing in life because, you know, you grow up as kids, right? And then you become best friends with your dad.
Yeah.
And that transition is so unique for kids. And some kids get it at 16. Some don't get it till they're 25. But when you become best friends with your dad or your son, there's no better feeling.
So well, then let's talk about that, because this is new to me. How did you process the passing of your dad? I'm still in the middle of it, and I don't know that I'm going to have a proper sense of what that feeling is for a while.
Yeah.
So how did that happen for you? Because I know what a presence he was in your life.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever overcome it. I know my dad and my mom, they're both close to their parents. And gosh, my dad would talk about his dad and mom like they were still alive and they had passed 20, 25 years previous.
Yeah.
So, you know, you create this bond, right? And there's nothing more important than having a family bond. And it's so special, so unique. And I don't know if you ever get over it. And when we went through my dad's passing, we had such a unique scenario because he didn't die from the pandemic. He didn't pass from that. He fell and broke his hip, and he was a little bit frail and older. And so when they sent him home, they put him in sort of a hospital bed in the house. And, you know, they had a doctor and a nurse come by every day. It was unique because as a family, I mean, you guys are probably the same. Your lives are a little bit hectic and crazy. And I have nieces and nephews and sons and daughters that live all over North America, not just in the Southern Ontario area. So when it happened, we all flew in.
Yeah.
And I would say that there was 23 of us in the family, and we were really the only ones allowed in there except for a minister, a doctor, and a nurse. And so I said to my dad, only he could bring us all together as a family for those 21 days because we hadn't been together before like that.
Yeah.
And it was so unique. And he was such a Christian, my dad. He was very, very, he never missed church. He went to church every Sunday. And he knew that there was life after death, but he so badly wanted to stay on this earth. And he was such a fighter. It was so interesting to hear the doctor's take. Every day the doctor would say, well, I think it's only 24 more hours. But my dad survived about 22 days. Obviously, he was frail when he passed. But, you know, you just sit around and tell stories. You lean on each other. You lean on your siblings, right?
Yeah.
Your brothers and your sisters and obviously your mother. And you just, the nicer the person is, and your father was a wonderful man, the harder it is to overcome.
Yeah.
You just, I don't know if there's a day goes by that I don't think of my dad or think of, gosh, I wish I could call my dad today. Well, I just had my fifth grandchild. Gosh, I wish I could call my mom and dad today. And so you just, those are things you just are irreplaceable, and you just got to rely on your siblings and battle through it.
Could I get your autograph right now, please?
And it's comical to hear. If you can't get the first W, everybody settles for the second W. That's me. Wayne Walder.
Yeah, that's the circle I'm trying to square, is that people have asked me, do you have any regrets? And I don't have any regrets. I don't have any feeling that, you know, I didn't say something that needed to be said. But I can't shake the feeling that I'm going to, the regret is that I'm not going to get to see him every day. And that's so it's a regret I don't have any power over. And I think that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, and those chats that you have.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's, listen, you have a conversation with your mother and it's unique, but the father-son bond is definitely so unique. Until my dad passed, each and every time he saw me, he would always say, I'm so proud of you. And not as a hockey player, but as a son, as a father, now as a grandfather. And that's what he meant, more importantly. And, you know, he was so proud to be Canadian. He always talked about his mom and dad coming over from, my grandmother came from Ukraine and my grandfather came from Minsk. And he would always say, isn't this incredible that we have this life in the greatest country in the world and we're privileged to live here? And he was so proud of that. He talked about it every day. It was endless.
You know, the first time I remember meeting you was in the mid-80s in Ottawa. It wasn't even in Edmonton. It was in Ottawa because my mom had organized something that's never been done before. I don't think it'll ever be done again. And I think, by the way, it's very fitting that we're talking about my mother during this, because if my father were here, he would say all credit to my mom for everything that he accomplished.
Yeah.
But my mom had organized a charity hockey game between the Edmonton Oilers and the Montreal Canadiens in Ottawa that raised $1 million for cystic fibrosis. And you were in my living room. And that is in doing. Do you remember that? Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
Because that was out of the ordinary. That didn't happen.
No, it was out of the ordinary. And Montreal had, I believe, just come off winning the Stanley Cup. And we had lost to Calgary that year. Yeah. And so we were a little bit in a disarray, just so to speak, because we'd won two previous years, and then Montreal deservedly so won the Cup in 86. And I remember Glenn Sather called me in the office, and he said, I just talked to the Prime Minister and his wife. They want us to play an exhibition game in Ottawa. And I was like, okay, that's fine, because I love playing. I played every game. I used to play 14 exhibition games a year. I think now the players play two or three. But anyway, so we flew to Ottawa, and I said, well, what are we playing for? And I'll never forget, everybody said, well, it's for cystic fibrosis. And I go, that's got to be the hardest charity name in the world. And by the time we got to Ottawa, there were signs everywhere, 65 roses. And your mother so intelligently sort of nicknamed it so kids could understand and relate to what the charity actually was.
Yeah.
And so here we were, 65 roses. And I got to tell you, we were so proud and so excited to go to 24 Sussex. I remember being on the bus and we all turned to each other and go, have you ever been there? No. Have you ever been there? No. And I'm thinking, gosh, wouldn't it have been so cool when we win the Stanley Cup that we go to 24 Sussex with the Stanley Cup like they do in the United States?
We were just talking about that before this interview, that I think everybody in Canada would love to see that happen.
I tried to arrange it. Listen, the last time I tried to arrange it, and we couldn't pull it off because it was in the middle of the season, but I was so proud to be part of Team Canada 02, and we won gold medal. Yeah. And there was talk about going to Ottawa and going to 24 Sussex with the entire team, and it just couldn't work out because once the players left Salt Lake City, they jumped back into a regular season. So then they talked about, well, maybe the management team will just go. And I remember saying, you know, it's not the same. The players have to be there. They're the guys who won the gold medal. They're the guys that put the work and effort in. We just basically put together a great team and got to sit back and watch this whole thing unfold in Salt Lake City. So maybe one day this will happen for teams that are successful. Listen, women have been pioneers with what they've been doing in hockey in the hockey world. Maybe the gold medal team will be the first Canadian team that goes to female team that goes to the 24 Sussex. That'll start the ball rolling. Everybody's Canadian wants to go see the house one time. Like, it's such a magnificent opportunity and, you know, such a privilege to be able to go in there. And so I was so excited that day we went in there. And I remember turning to Mark Messier. I go, have you ever been here? And he goes, no. And we just were in awe as we walked around. It was pretty, pretty cool. And your mom and dad couldn't have been nicer and more welcoming to everybody. It was a pretty unique day.
I'm talking with Wayne Gretzky, remembering my father, Brian Mulroney. You know, Wayne, it seems as I'm getting older and I'm in a new phase of my life with my family. You know, you were a young hockey player. My dad was a young prime minister. Chances that you guys were going to be connecting on a daily basis or on a regular basis, probably not high. But as as he got older and into the next phase of his career, and as you've moved forward with your life, it does seem like the two of you connected more and more, that you spent more time together. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and let me say two things. He was prime minister, God bless him. I would never want to be in politics. That's a hard world, because no matter what you do, half the people like you and half the people don't.
Oh, that was on a good day for him.
Yeah. And, you know, the sports world is so unique because at home, everybody loves you. And as soon as you go on the road, they boo the crap out of you, which is a good thing. So I'm like, all right, you can handle the politics. I just want to be an athlete. But I remember in 1987, we were playing the Canada Cup, and it was one of those tournaments that sort of just grew and got legs and got more exciting. And we lost game one in Montreal, and then we won game two in overtime. And so it set up for game three. And during the last three games, we played in Hamilton. And I remember saying to Mike Keenan, the coach, listen, I'm 20 minutes to the arena. Can I just stay at my mom and dad's house? And he said, absolutely. So we were getting ready, game three in the afternoon. And in those days, it was house phones, basically. And the phone rang. It was your dad's chief of staff. And he said, Mr. Gretzky, the prime minister would like to talk to you and wish you good luck. And I said, well, absolutely. I said, I'm just getting dressed. Can you call back in like 10 minutes? So I had it all set up, and he called back in 10 minutes. And I said, Dad, you better get the phone. And he's standing there, and I could just see his jaw dropping more and more, and his eyes getting bigger and bigger. And he's looking at me. He goes, can you believe the Prime Minister of Canada is calling me? And I looked at him. I said, I think he's calling for me. I'm playing the game tonight. He goes, oh, yeah. And it's your phone. And so I said, he said all the nice things. Good luck and congratulations. You guys will make Canada proud. And I remember was driving in the car. My dad must have said it five times. And this is what I was talking about earlier. My mom and dad wouldn't believe that their son got to talk to the Prime Minister of Canada. And I remember how excited he was. He was like a little kid. And I remember thinking, wow, that's cool. And, you know, either you have that as a person or as a prime minister, that charisma, that sense of making people feel welcome and happy. And your dad did that. And it was so exciting. Your mom and dad and I and Janet sat together in Malibu at David Foster's wedding. And I remember sitting there, and then all of a sudden there's a lot of Canadians there, Michael Bublé. And before I knew it, we had like 10 people at this bench for that seated basically five, and we're all crammed in, and it was Canada all together. And everybody was just telling Canadian stories and how excited we were to be at David's wedding, but how happy we were that we were Canadians representing their country at his wedding. And we had the most wonderful night, your mom and dad and I and Janet. It was just one of those great nights.
You know, Wayne, the older he got, I think his family was always the most important thing to him. But as it grew and he got older, it became all the more central to the identity that I think Dad wanted the world to know about him, that he was a father and a grandfather and a husband. And as much as he loved everything else that he did, those things were the star attraction for him. You've got so many accomplishments under your belt for so many different reasons, but you're a father and a grandfather now. Does that ring true to you?
Absolutely, 100%. People say to me all the time, do you miss playing hockey? And I go, well, of course I do. I mean, I loved it. Everything I have in my life is because of hockey. Now, these players are so big and fast and good today, I don't know if I could have played, but yeah, I wish I could still be playing. But what takes over is your priorities, and your priorities become, you know, your kids, and then you hope that your kids spouses or people you get along with, because that's a big fear as parents that we all have. Thankfully, I have two wonderful daughter-in-laws and a wonderful son-in-law. My youngest two are still in college and 22 and 20 years old. And so as your family expands, your worry becomes worse, right? You're worrying about every little thing. If the little baby's crying or if she's teething, and your grandson's first day of kindergarten. And just, it's so unique. And now we're in a situation because of Paulina and Dustin, their travel schedule, and we all live about 10 minutes apart, that the boys will come and stay with us because they can't miss school. So when he goes to Hong Kong and Australia, the kids come and live with us. And I often say to my wife, Jen, I say, gosh, I'm so tired. Were we like this when we had kids that were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old? She goes, you got to remember you're 62 now. Or 63. Back then you were 30, 31. And I go, yeah, I feel like I'm old. But, you know, as you know, being a prime minister is so much more difficult than being a hockey player. We had to worry about 20 people in the locker room. We had to worry about everybody tugging on the same rope. When you're a prime minister of Canada and prime minister's wife, you're worried about 35 million Canadians that you want to make their lives better. So not only are you worried about your own immediate family, he has to worry about an entire country each and every day and the stress that goes with that. And probably the pleasure that goes with that too, is something that you have to accept. And, you know, I often tell people this, and I know we're reminiscing about your mom and dad, but, you know, over the years, whether it was weddings or funerals, whether it was in the United States or England, each and every time we would see your mom and dad walking in, they represented our country with so much class and dignity that you could sit there as a Canadian and say, you know what, there's our representatives and we're proud to be Canadian.
Lastly, Wayne, and then I'm going to let you go, and I can't thank you enough for all of this, is Dad always called himself a frustrated old saloon singer. And the older he got, the more willing he was to share the song that he had in his heart. And I have to assume you've heard him sing a time or two.
Oh, yeah. And I know he wanted to sing at David Foster's wedding. And I think that as a group, we all decided, as good as you are, we're going to let Mike Bublé get up there.
You know what? And I think that's a fair thing to do, considering that even Michael would say that he wouldn't have been up there were it not for my dad.
Just because Michael Bublé is one of the greatest singers of all time. And I remember sitting beside him before he was getting up to sing. And I said, how you doing? He goes, I'm so nervous. I said, nervous? You're Michael Bublé. He goes, the Prime Minister of Canada and his wife are here, Wayne. I'm very nervous. And so that said enough great things about your mom and dad.
Wayne, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you for just being such a good friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and God bless you and your family. And time heals a lot of wounds, but never forget the memories. That's what life is all about.
Thanks, my friend.